Hey everybody, thank you for joining us on Code Chat. My name is Jeremy Foster and you can find me online at codefoster.com. You can also find me on Twitter at @codefoster. And myself and Etienne here are in the middle of a kind of a corporate hackathon over in another building at Microsoft. And we were doing it all day yesterday. I don't know about you, but I was up till 2 working on my project.
Yeah, me too.
But I want you guys to meet Etienne. Etienne, can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. I'm a technical evangelist in France, in Paris. And I'm working mostly with web technologies and also mobile and cross-platform and stuff like this.
Awesome. So he's my direct equivalent, but in France, we've got evangelists all around the world. It's our job to learn our platforms and then talk to you guys about our platforms. And by the way, if you're a developer out in the wild and you ever need some help from Microsoft, an evangelist is a pretty good place to start. You can find us online. We've all got blogs and we're all on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Multa. It's like M-E-U-L-T-A.
Okay, M-E-U-L-T-A. Awesome. You can find us online and contact us. We can get you the resources that you need.
Yep.
Now today, we want to talk about Vorlon.js, and I just happen to be well prepared for the day. So
I'm really happy that you have the t-shirt, you know.
This is a really cool tool. Can you tell us what it is?
Sure. So have you ever been on a website on your mobile?
Oh, right? Yes.
You already?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not really displaying correctly.
Right, something goofy about it.
And that's not really the fault of the web developers. It's more that they don't have the right tools to debug this. Mm-hmm. And this is why we created Vorlon. It's because we wanted to help them debug on the first part is to debug on the mobile.
Okay. Know?
So, because when you want to debug on mobile, you have to plug a mobile using USB. For instance, if you want to debug using Chrome on an Android, you have to plug it on your computer,
right,
then connect, and it's really hard to use and to if you want to debug, for instance, on Safari, you have to have a Mac and et cetera.
So and on Windows, I even have to have a special network adapter for the phone, right?
And so you have to use Visual Studio also, so it's not really easy to do. And also, it's not cross-platform because you have to get all these different devices to debug your phone website. Mm-hmm. So that's why we created Vorlon. Basically, it's a cross-platform tool that you can use to get pretty much the same experience you have in F12, mm-hmm, in any browser.
Okay.
And it's really easy and easy to install, set up, and to connect to the server, the Vorlon.js server. So maybe I can show you how it works first.
Yeah, so as a summary, however, Vorlon, we could maybe say that Vorlon.js is like remote F12 tools.
Yeah, pretty much like this.
Okay.
So to set up Vorlon, the first step is to go on vorlonjs.io, for instance, or .com, it's the same. So you have here everything you need to understand how it works, what it is. You have a quick video showing what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And to install it, you can use, there you have the getting started, you can use NPM.
Holy cow, that's completely familiar.
Yes, it's like every developer, web developer know this. So npm install -g vorlon.
And can I just point out that I is a shortcut for the word install in case that's throwing you? Why is there an I there? Is just an npm
install.
Shortcut for install.
Sure. And then you can start the server part. I'm going to show you this a bit later. You just by typing vorlon.
Okay.
It's going to start.
All right.
So this is the first way of doing this. And the second one is to clone the Git repository.
Okay.
Just get it locally, and then you just have to type npm install, and it's going to get all the dependencies and all the stuff that you need, and then compile, because we have a gulp task in our code, so it's going to compile the plugins and the server.
So to compile, do you type gulp?
Yes, just gulp.
Okay.
No, you just have to type npm install, and we have an after install task, and it's going to launch the gulp. And
but
then
this is much easier than that.
Yes,
right?
Really easier.
Yeah.
Right now, it's quite an old version in the npm repo, but we're going to update this like this week or next week.
Okay, so probably by the time this airs, it's going to be updated.
Yep.
So what's the version to look for that's being released?
It's going to be 0.0.16.
Okay, wonderful.
Yep. And then all you have to do, so you have to start the server,
mm-hmm,
and the server is giving you a dashboard. I'm going to show you. And in the website you want to debug, you just have to add one line of code, which is a reference to a script, which is just here.
So easy.
Yes. You see, it's a script generated by the server. And so it's getting you everything you need to debug your website.
Awesome.
So just to show you how it works really quickly, here I'm on the server. So
okay.
I did not install it using NPM here.
Okay.
I cloned the repository,
okay.
And it's NPM install. And I just have to go and say node server.js, because
okay.
It's using Node.js.
Yeah.
So that's why. And when I've done this, I got here a really nice, or I hope it's nice, dashboard in which you have pretty much nothing. It's telling you that you can reference the script here,
okay.
Using this URL. And then
it just realizes that it doesn't have anybody connected
yes,
to it yet.
No,
right?
No one is connected.
Okay.
So here I have a sample also, which is really really light web server with a sample page,
mm-hmm.
In which I have everything. We use this page to it's in the Git repo. We use it to test all the features that we have.
Okay.
And I can refresh this page. It's looking like this.
Okay.
I refresh it, and it's going to appear here on the list of the clients. So
wow.
Really, the what you want to do here usually is you have a lot of devices, like an iPad, a Windows Phone, for instance, a Surface, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You go on the website on all of your devices,
mm-hmm.
And then you say, oh, on the Android, for instance, I have a problem. And you can see which one it is,
mm-hmm.
And just hit this one and start debugging it.
And it's detected that it's Windows there? Is that why
yes,
it says Windows?
Yes, it's Windows.
There?
You have for Android, it's Android. For iOS, it's iOS.
Okay.
So yeah, it's detected. It's using the user agents. So basically, I'm going to get some space here and simulate like a mobile.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah.
A little bit narrow.
Yes. So here I have the, we're not going to go through all the plugins, I guess, but the main one is the DOM Explorer. So it's getting you the DOM from the website live.
So this is created modularly where Vorlon has a plugin just for the DOM Explorer, but
yes.
You could create more plugins.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
And also what we have here, we have the DOM Explorer Interactive Console, which is the basic tools in F12.
Yeah, right.
We have Modernizer also. We as a core team did this, and all the other plugins were done by the community using the extensibility of Vorlon.
Because
it's really easy to have, you have just have to write some code for the client, code for the dashboard, and everything is done for you.
Tremendous.
The communication is done in, through Socket.io, but as a developer, a plugin developer, it's pretty much everything is done for you. So
yeah.
You just have to say, I want to send this and display it on the dashboard. So basically, it's like really like what you have in F12. So here, I can change some text if I want. It's going to live change on the client there. I'm going to do another one just here. And I don't know where it is. I guess it's pretty much like here. Yeah, it's changing also and stuff like this. Yeah. So you have this. You have the CSS also. The style here on the left, you can change also stuff. It's dynamically applying to the website.
Okay.
And everything, we have some sample to generate errors here. Like here, I can click on this, and it's going to catch everything that's going on the console.
Okay.
On the client side is going also here.
Okay.
And you can say complex object and stuff.
Now, when you change things like the DOM or the CSS, do those changes persist, or do you have the option for those changes to persist?
Right now, it's not doing this. It's only live.
Okay.
But we're working. We're looking at a browser sync and stuff like this to maybe integrate it into Vorlon or add a plugin to say, okay, replicate this on my file because I want this to be there.
Wonderful.
So basically, it's this. You have Modernizer here.
What about this identify a client button?
Yeah.
What happens when I push that?
So to show you this, I'm going to launch another browser. Let's say Firefox, for instance, to show you it's really cross-platform.
Great.
And I'm going to the same page, and you see here, the client is here. So now it's not telling you that it's Firefox, only that it's Windows.
Yeah, so you're like, which one is which?
And which one is the correct one? You can click there, and it's going to add you a little number.
Oh, wow.
Here, 1 and 0.
Yeah.
So when we do demos of this, it's really fun because we do a live demo with everyone in the room.
Oh,
like
wow,
like
yeah.
100 people or
and
sometimes
all,
all of them just see the numbers and we live debug someone in the or the someone mobile on the room. It's really really fun. Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
So so this is how you know which one you want to debug. So if I switch there, you can see that I can everything is going on Firefox on,
mm-hmm.
on behind here.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much this is it. So you have also the Object Explorer which is showing you
the
every
DOM.
Not the DOM but every JavaScript objects that you have on the page.
Oh, wow, okay.
On window, you can search there. You have XHR to see the Ajax call. Also, mm-hmm. you can start this, go there, and simulate an Ajax call, and it's going to appear.
Wonderful, kind of like the network tab.
Yes, pretty much the same. The network tab is more here. I'm going to do like this. You have the all the resources, the time it took to download it, and also you have the waterfall there.
You guys have replicated everything.
Yes, pretty much. But this is, we did not do this. This is someone from the community.
Okay.
This is really great. We're really happy about this. Because it's not only our tool, it's the tool for everyone, and everyone is really welcome to participate in. We have the Resource Explorer also with the cookies and local storage, session storage. My device, which show you information like the size of the page. For instance, this is not the good one. It's here. It's dynamic, so if you're someone, yes, you can see
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's changing live. So this is great for to see on a mobile which resolution you have, how many pixels per point and stuff like this.
Yeah, sure.
You also have the user agent there. And this is one of the latest we have done. This is the best practice is here to help you as a web developer to see what mistake you could have made on your website.
Okay.
Like regarding the web standards, for instance, or other best practices that we have in the web development area. Mm-hmm. So you just hit the play button here. It's going to get information on the client, on the website running on the client, and give you some hints about the rules, maybe in accessibility here. You see that I didn't use area attributes, for instance. I have also, which one is good, is web standard here. I did not use all the prefixes in the CSS, for instance, so.
I don't want to write all the prefixes.
Yeah, and also you have tools to help you doing this, so.
But
here you can see that we did not do it correctly on the sample.
This is amazing. This is a really, really powerful tool. My favorite thing is that it's so easy to get started. Like, I don't have to do a whole bunch of wiring. I install it globally in Node, now it's always ready for me, and then on any of my pages that I want to, how do I discover the port that it's running on in Node? Is it always the same?
So you set it up in the config, there is a config file, you can set up you can activate, deactivate some plugins if you want, enable, disable, and you can change the port and you can enable authentication, for instance. And then all you have to do is go, because when you go there, when you have the page, the waiting page, it's going to give you the exact URL you need to use with the port also.
Okay.
And that is all inside.
So do you sometimes publish that node process to the cloud so that it can be accessed outside?
Exactly. Okay. So what we can do here is go on the GitHub repo.
Okay.
Because at the start we were doing it manually, but.
Okay.
We are developers, and developers are a bit lazy sometimes. That's why we create stuff. So if you go on the GitHub here, you have the link on the website. You can choose the 0.0.16 version there.
Already. Great.
This is the branch. And then on the button, you have everything explaining to you how it works. And you have a easy button here.
I love those buttons.
It's really nice.
I love those buttons.
And it's really so easy to set up. You just have to add a file on your repo.
Kay.
And add this button. It's a Markdown, just Markdown something.
Okay.
You just add it and
so
you're good to go.
In case you haven't seen this before, what this is Etienne actually has added this button in Markdown text. It's rendering as a button. And when you click on that, it gives you the opportunity to deploy this into your Azure subscription.
Yes,
so if you don't have an Azure subscription, just go to azure.com and sign up for free. And then
you
when
click
you
there,
click that,
I can
you can
do
put
it.
This in. There you go.
There I go. I can just do it to show you how it works. It's really easy. You have three steps. You can configure this also, what you want to give to people and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Then you just hit next, 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 and it's going to create a website, which is a past version to the web hosting in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to enable everything you need, like WebSockets and stuff like this, and deploy the latest version of Volant.js. And everything is.
And now on all of your devices, you basically just put this script tag in there and you point it to your.
To Azure.
Now, is there any implication if I leave that in there? Is it something I don't want to leave in a production site?
Now, it's not really. Because we added some authentication on the dashboard.
Okay.
So you're good there.
Okay.
On that
what about
part.
Performance?
And you do not have to. this is another topic, right, but it's really important, the performance. We do not recommend to add this in production into production, okay. Because there is a lot of stuff going in Socket.io, really. And in the start, it was a little bit, we had an issue because in the DOM Explorer here, every time there is something changing on the client,
yeah.
It was sending all the DOM to the dashboard in the first version.
Yeah.
So when you have something like AngularJS, which is really doing a lot of stuff
really
in
chatty.
Your DOM,
yeah.
Yes. It was the websites, the client website was really laggy and was really unusual.
Yeah.
So we added some performance, we did some performance changes in
okay.
the code. And so now you have a refresh button, it's not always sending everything. So this is, but still, it's not really good to have this into production. So we are working on maybe something like the snapshot you have in IntelliSense. If you're doing some .NET development, you can have a snapshot of the of everything, the objects and stuff like this, and just getting it on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one stuff we're looking into. And so you have it in production, but it's not live. And when the user is calling you, saying calling the support, saying, mm-hmm. I have a problem on my website, it doesn't work, you can just say, click on this button, it's mm-hmm. going to send like something really light, but start to the debugging process.
Yeah, wonderful.
As a start for this, and also you can what you can do is add the line, the script in the client,
mm-hmm.
but adding something in the query string of the script, just saying I don't want to start right now, mm. I want just to have the script, and you can start it with a really easy JavaScript line. It's like voron.core.start something.
Okay.
And you can start it when you want.
Now, what if I don't actually have access to the website that I want to debug? Like, if I can go, if I have access to it, I can go inject a script
yeah.
tag. But what if I want to, if, it, can I debug Bing?
Yes, you can. And what I'm proposing is that you can, we can do this right now. So we've added a proxy. I'm just going to show it and explain it to you. It's HTTP proxy. So it's running basically on the same node server. It's a different listening port, but it's the
okay.
same server. And here, what we are doing is you just have to enter a website URL there.
And I don't have to own it.
Yes, you don't have to own it.
Okay.
Because all the requests are going to be redirected from the website and going through the proxy. And we inject the Volon client script dynamically there at this time. I'm going to show you how it works.
That's fascinating.
Let's debug Bing, for instance. And so I can just open both the dashboard and the client,
okay.
or only one if I want to. I just click there. It's going to open two tabs. So here I have the dashboard with the client connected. It's a different dashboard. It's Bing Comp
oh,
here.
Yeah.
It's like separated from the other one. And there, if you look at the URL here, I have localhost slash volon proxy slash root something with the
wow.
website there. And this is telling the proxy that I want to browse this website,
yeah.
but please inject Volon before displaying it to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a separate tab here, and it's working the same. So I can go there. I can have I can change the stuff in there. I don't know if I have some sample there, something I can change, but I can, you know, get the.
Now,
for
what's
instance.
Then the advantage of doing this versus yeah. just going to Bing and hitting F12?
Here, it's not really an advantage because I'm
mm-hmm.
On a desktop, but I can copy the URL, send it to my mobile, for
oh,
instance, and
deep
start debugging from my mobile without adding it.
I see.
This is really the idea here.
I see.
And I'm not going through all the plugins, but it's everything is working the same. You have the modern plugin also working and. The best practices.
Yeah, and you mentioned mobile, but actually nowadays where these web portals, the web language, the web platform is basically our portal to all kinds of information and apps, and those are showing up everywhere. Like we're seeing those in mobile devices, but we're also seeing them on TVs and you know on HoloLens and you know what all these different formats that things are going to appear in.
Also in IoT, you can have
right.
JavaScript running on a connected
right.
object, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You can use this also to debug stuff. Maybe not the DOM Explorer because you will not have any DOM,
yeah.
but you can have the console, for instance, or the Object Explorer and all that kind of stuff. We did not test it yet,
mm-hmm.
but I'm working on something for this also.
Okay. Man, that's great. That's great. Is there anything else that's kind of coming down the road that you want to tell us about?
Not right now. Kay. Pretty much told you everything.
Okay.
Even stuff that we didn't show yet, so.
Well, the getting started for developers is pretty simple. What if developers want to get involved in the project? Maybe they want to create a plugin, or maybe they want to work on the core.
So what we did is that we created a. So you just have to go on the GitHub repository.
Kay.
You can have it on the website, and then to start creating a plugin, you just have to go on. I wrote an article, which is Volant plugin, I guess. So aka.ms.volantplugin, or maybe it's not this. It's bit.ly. This one not prepared.
No problem.
Volant plugin. Okay. So it's bit.ly/volantplugin.
Okay.
And then you have in English an article about explaining it, which is explaining how to create a new plugin. It's really going that you have. You have the version of this running on only one website, and then how you split it for to have the collecting part on the client and then the displaying part on the dashboard. It's really straightforward to understand.
What are you actually developing? Are you developing a Node app?
No, it's only client side.
It's okay.
So you can create it in JavaScript directly, mm-hmm. or you can use TypeScript mm-hmm. because we used TypeScript to develop everything in Volant.
Very cool.
And we have gulp tasks. That are translating this into JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use JavaScript or TypeScript if you want. And in the blog article, you have the two version.
Now,
in TypeScript and
when
JavaScript.
You run Vorlon on your box here, you see those tabs. You said the first one was developed by your core team, and the other ones were community contributions.
Yeah.
How do you configure what plugins you want to use in Vorlon?
So this is done. We want to have an interface to do this, but right now it's not really that hard. You have a config.json here file, and you have all the plugins there, and you just have enabled true false, and it's going to display and not display. You can see here.
You have a bunch you're playing with.
Yes, there is some that I didn't show you, like the Angular.js inspector.
Oh, wow.
You can see the scope of Angular. This is one done for by one of my friends in France.
That's
Babylon.js
awesome.
Inspector also to have all the data from a. WebGL,
mm-hmm.
3D scene in running in a mobile or a desktop version of a browser.
Well, this is awesome. This is awesome. I think we've covered all the basics. Is there anything else you want to share with developers before we wrap up?
No, I think we're done.
Okay, now we got to get back to the other building, get back to hacking, huh?
We're going to code.
Thanks for joining us this time on Code Chat. I hope you learned something today about Vorlon. I hope you go out and actually use it. And actually, I hope you go out and create a plugin for it. That'd be really cool.
Yes, that'd be really great.
Okay, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.